How many here enjoy God's Word? Amen. Getting into God's Word? All right. Tonight's message is God wants to do a new thing. You know, we're at the start of a brand new year, 2025. I'm excited about 2025 and the good things that can happen this year. How many here tonight are excited about this new year? All right. You know, at the start of a new year, some will reflect on the previous year. That's the way the human mind works sometimes. The start of a brand new year, some people will reflect on the previous year. And maybe as you look back on last year, maybe you've been looking back at last year, the last few days, and looking back at 2024, perhaps in your life an unfortunate thing happened, maybe like a lost job opportunity. Maybe you didn't fill out the job application or didn't interview and it slipped through your fingers. Or maybe it was a lost educational opportunity. Maybe you didn't get the paperwork in on time and you were not able to enroll last year. Maybe you've got some regrets. Or maybe for some of you, maybe a really good thing happened in 2024. Maybe like a deliverance from an addiction to alcohol, for instance. You know, whether something unfortunate or good happened for you last year, both the bad and the good, the failure and the success are in the past. And you need to leave the past where it belongs, in the past. Do you agree tonight? Amen. You know, if you live this year, 2025, looking through the rear view mirror of your life, you won't be able to move forward with what God has for you in this coming year, in this present year. God has got something great for you in store. But you can't be looking through the rear view mirror of your life as you go about in 2025. So with that in mind, we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 14 through 21. So I just first want to give you a brief historical overview of Isaiah 43. When God was speaking through the prophet, it was prophesied during the time that the Jews of Judah were under Babylonian captivity. Why were they under Babylonian captivity? They were exiled to Babylon in three waves between 597 and 582 BC because they sinned against God continuously. They were involved with idol worship. The Jewish people. They were disobeying God. They were dishonoring God. So God, in his justice, disciplined them for their sin by allowing them to be taken captive to Babylon. But there is a note of hope. There is a ray of hope in Isaiah 43, verses 14 through 21. So with that in mind, we're going to begin today with, or tonight, with verse 14 of Isaiah 43. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives, as runaways, all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. He said, for your sake, I will send. He will send, God will send whom? He would send Cyrus the Great, king of Persia, right, to defeat Babylon, which happened in 539 BC. And the Babylonians would be as runaways in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator, your king. And God was saying, when you see this deliverance from the Babylonians, it will prove to you that I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator, your king. Now verses 16 and 17. Let's look at verses 16 and 17. What does it bring to mind? This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and there they lay, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. These two verses are reminiscent of the awesome deliverance of the Jews from Egyptian slavery hundreds of years before this prophecy. See, God brought them through the Red Sea safely, right? While their enemies, Pharaoh and his armies, were what? They were destroyed behind them. So God said, I brought about a wonderful deliverance for you from Egyptian servitude. But, however, verse 18, even though I delivered you from Egyptian slavery hundreds of years ago, and you might be thinking about it, I want you to forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Wow, interesting, right? God is saying, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Forget. In other words, don't focus, you Jewish people, on your deliverance from Egyptian slavery hundreds of years ago. Don't dwell there. Don't ponder that so much in your mind, lest you become comfortable with that miracle and become stagnant, not able to move forward with the new thing, the new deliverance from Babylonian exile that I am about to bring about in your life. What was God saying to the Jewish people of Judah? He was saying to them, you know, you're in exile now, but you're thinking about that deliverance I brought about for you in the past. I don't want you to dwell on that. I don't want you to ponder on that and park there mentally. I want you to park there mentally. Because if you do, you won't be able to see the new thing, the new deliverance that I am about to bring for you, deliverance from Babylonian captivity. And friends, as the prophet spoke this back in the 6th century BC, it applies to us also in 2025. I'm here to tell you tonight, don't mentally park in the deliverance God brought about for you in 2024. In that success that occurred for you in 2024. Don't fixate on that deliverance from maybe that alcoholic addiction, or don't just dwell on that deliverance from that toxic person who was about to take you down, or just don't focus on that deliverance from that life-threatening illness. You're to think about it, you're to give God thanks for it, but don't park there mentally. Because if you park there mentally, you'll get comfortable with last year's manna and you'll become stagnant, not able to move forward with the new thing, with the greater thing that God has for you in 2025. Is that making sense here tonight? Don't fixate on the past, the success of the past. Don't park mentally on the deliverance, on the success, on the good thing that happened in 2024. Because guess what? God in 2025 has got a new thing for your life. He's got more for your life. He's got a greater thing for your life than what He did for you in 2024. Ask yourself tonight. Ask yourself when you leave this meeting. Ponder this question. Is it possible that God has something new, something more than what He did for me in 2024? If you get nothing else except this from tonight's message, remember this question. Is it possible, ask yourself, that God has got something new, something more than what He did for me in 2024? And your answer should be in the affirmative, a resounding yes, that God has got something new for you in 2025. Something new for you in 2025. Perhaps God delivered you last year, and maybe the new thing He has for you this year is to become an instrument of His deliverance in the life of someone in your sphere of influence. I'm going to say that again. Perhaps God delivered you last year in 2024, and maybe the new thing He has for you this year is to become an instrument of deliverance in the life of someone in your sphere of influence. I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, that you were not put on this earth by God to just exist, to just take up space. You're not a spare part in this world. God delivered you. He did something wonderful with your life. He gave you the gift of eternal life. He broke the power of sin off of your life so that you can be an instrument, a tool of His deliverance in the life of somebody else who is in greater need than you in 2025. Could it be that that's the new thing, the more, the greater thing God has for you this year? Is to be His instrument of deliverance in the life of somebody else. Remember, you might be in need. You might be in financial need. There may be some need in your life. But remember this, there is somebody out there on the streets of downtown Tulsa that is in greater need than you. And you can bring God's delivering power to that person. Now, Jesus, what did He talk about in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount? This is what He said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. He said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand that it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Now, Jesus is the ultimate source of light. Remember this, the moon. The moon does what? It reflects the sun's light at night, right? We, like the moon, reflect the light of Jesus, the ultimate source of light, into the lives of others by good deeds, by acting as instruments of God's deliverance. You are the light of the world. You are a reflection of the ultimate source of light, who is Jesus Christ. How will others in darkness see your light? By the good deeds that you bring into their lives, by acting as an instrument of God's deliverance in the life of somebody else in your sphere of influence. You know, maybe God will bring across your path this year, maybe in the coming days, somebody who is addicted in some way to a chemical. And maybe God delivered you from an addiction last year. Maybe you've been sober now 8 or 9 months and you're giving God glory for it. And maybe God may bring that person with an addiction into your life this year. And as Paul writes to the Galatians in Galatians 6:1, you can help restore gently that person who is overtaken, caught up in a sin. And you can tell that person, "You know what? I took courses. I did my part and God did the rest. He delivered me from that addiction." And you can just share with them God's delivering power, God's words of comfort, and say, "You know, the God who delivered me from that addiction is the same God who can deliver you. You may have to take some courses. You do your best and God will do the rest. God can set you free." Maybe to the person trapped by a toxic relationship. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4, maybe you received comfort from somebody last year, and maybe God delivered you from that toxic person who was about to put you in a cave of depression. And you can just comfort that person with the comfort that God gave you, with the deliverance that God gave you. And you can say, "You know what? You can forgive that person. You don't have to retaliate, but you may have to sever ties with that person and not respond to emails and maybe not respond to phone calls. God can deliver you from that relationship like He delivered me last year or in the last couple of years." You can be an instrument of God's deliverance by the life-giving words of encouragement that you speak into the lives of others. Is that making sense here tonight? Amen. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4. To the person who is sick, maybe God delivered you from a life-threatening illness last year. Maybe the doctors were telling you there is nothing else that we can do for you. There is no hope. This will end in death. But God, the divine doctor, the divine surgeon, took over and miraculously delivered you from a life-threatening illness, and you're giving God joy for it this year. Now, as I said earlier, don't park in that deliverance mentally. It's awesome that God delivered you. You can give God thanks for it, but don't ponder on it so much to the point where you feel like you've achieved. Man, I've achieved. God delivered me from this life-threatening illness. 2025, I'm just going to sit back and relax. No, God has got something more for you this year. God has got something new for you this year. God has got something greater that He wants to do with your life in 2025. Yes, it is possible that God can do something new with your life this year, that He can make you an instrument of His deliverance in the life of somebody else. That you can be His light amongst a dark world who is captive. And so, what did Jesus say in Mark 16, verse 18, for those who believe? They will lay their hands on the sick and the sick will recover. As I said to you a few moments ago, maybe God delivered you from that life-threatening illness last year. And maybe that person who's got maybe this year a life-threatening illness, you can go to that person, that person crosses your path, and you can pray for them and say, you know what? The God who delivered me from this illness is the same God that can do it for you. And you can ask that person, can I pray for you? Put your hands on that person and God is able to heal that sickness. It can happen instantaneously or it could take a process of time. But God can use you to be His instrument of physical healing in somebody else's life. He can really do it. Remember, you're not on this earth just to exist, just to sit back and relax at this shelter and to take up space. God placed you on this earth with a divine destiny and purpose to touch somebody else with the love of God, to be the light of Jesus in the life of somebody who is in greater need than you. In the life of somebody who is struggling this year with something you may have struggled with last year and overcame. You know, we've got to go from spiritual toddlerhood to adulthood in our walk with God. You know, a toddler in the natural, a two-year-old, is all about itself, right? Me, myself, and I. It's the center of its own world. Would you agree? A little toddler, right? Me, myself, and I. And you know, God is wanting us to mature from spiritual toddlerhood into spiritual adulthood. You're receiving here on a daily basis. Maybe God did a miracle in your life last year. He blessed you. You had success last year. God doesn't want you to keep that to yourself. He doesn't want you to keep all the words you're getting to yourself. He doesn't want you to keep that miracle to yourself. God is wanting to mature you into spiritual adulthood and share with others His light, His miracle working power, His deliverance, and His words of encouragement into the lives of others. Say it with me tonight. I'm not on this earth just to exist, just to take up space. God has got a plan, a destiny, a purpose and an end for my life in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so how to start experiencing the new thing that God has got for you? How do you practically start experiencing the new thing, the more, the greater thing that God has for you this year? Practically, how do you start experiencing that? Number one, first and foremost, so important, Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3. Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3. Paul writing to the Colossians while he is in prison. He says to them this, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. He's telling the Colossians to pray to God that God would open a door, right? For the message, for the gospel to be shared with other people. Friends, he was asking the Colossians to pray for him. You can ask others to pray for you, but you can pray to God directly as well. And so this is the first practical step. You can cry out and say, God, God, I pray, I cry out to you, God, what new thing, what more, what greater thing are you wanting to do with my life in 2025? And I guarantee that if you cry out to God, you pray to God, God will respond to you. Say it with me tonight. God, what's the new thing? The greater thing? The more that you're wanting to do with my life in 2025. And I'm here to tell you that God will respond to your prayer. You communicate with God, you talk with God in prayer, and God will respond back to you. So you got to pray and say, God, I just pray that that door of opportunity for sharing your love, your gospel, your delivering power comes across my path. Then be alert to that person whom God may be bringing across your path. Be alert. Stay alert spiritually. God may bring somebody crossing your path tonight or tomorrow or in the next day that is in need. Be alert. Let the Spirit of God speak to your spirit. That's the person I want you to minister to. Be alert spiritually to that door of opportunity, to that person that God may be bringing across your path to show His delivering power to show His light to show His good deeds to. Remember, friends, it's time to mature from spiritual toddlerhood, receiving all the time, into spiritual adulthood, giving out of yourself the good that God has given you. Do you agree tonight? Amen. All right. So be alert spiritually. You know, if God brings somebody across your path, somebody you're acquainted with, one of the questions you could ask that person is, hey, how is it going? Maybe you'll start seeing that person tomorrow or in the next day and they're crossing your path. You see them on occasion. A practical question is this, is just, hey, how is it going? And see if they begin opening up to you. Observe what they say to you. Listen to what they're confiding in you. All right? So say it with me. How is it going? Just use that simple question. How is it going? And see if that person opens up to you. Now, being alert, I was reading from a little devotional called Portals of Prayer. This is actually from years ago, January through March of 2013, but it's really good. And it's called The Little Things, from January 7th of 2013. I circled the block numerous times, hoping for a parking place in front of the store. Finally, an opening. As I hurried in, I met a friend coming out, a friend who needed to talk. Could it be that God delayed my entrance just so I could comfort her? The king during Esther's time might have asked a similar question that night he could not sleep. Such a little thing, and yet the whole book of Esther hinges on the king's wakefulness. Because he couldn't sleep, the king had the chronicles read to him. That led to honoring Mordecai and later to disrupting Haman's evil plans. All because the king could not sleep. Since God's timing is perfect, perhaps the little things in our lives really aren't so little. We're reminded in Ephesians 2:10 that God has prepared good works in advance for us to do. Opportunities for service hinge on God's impeccable timing. Amen. Jesus, whose birth, life, and death for our sins was perfectly timed, also manages our days and moments. He turns inconsequential accidents of life into opportunities. Because He loved us enough to die for us, we look forward to loving others even when we are least expecting it. Be alert to those little opportunities that God is bringing across your path to share His delivering power with somebody else. It may not be coincidence that person is crossing your path. Maybe God is wanting you to ask the question, how is it going? And let that person start opening up to you. And so you might be thinking tonight, well, you know what? Man, what if I don't say the right words? What if I look foolish when I open up my mouth? What if I stumble over my words? Friend, you're fearing rejection. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Don't fear rejection. You got to do it afraid. You've got to take the step into that person's life afraid. Don't fear rejection, because guess what? God is on your side. God will give you the words of hope and encouragement to speak into that person's life. So, and acting as an instrument of God's deliverance this year, maybe the more that God is wanting to do with you, the new thing He's wanting to do with you, you first have got to pray. You've got to cry out to God and say, God, I pray that you give me a desire to share your gospel, to share your deliverance, to share your good with others. God, give me that desire deep down on the inside. And God will enable you by the Holy Spirit resident on the inside of you to have that desire to reach out to somebody in your sphere of influence. He'll bring that opportunity across your path. But you've got to be spiritually alert to that opportunity. God will speak to you and say, I want you to reach out to that person. That person's been crossing your path. It's not by mistake. I want you to ask them, how is it going? And then leave the rest in God's hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to step out and ask that first question. Don't fear rejection in asking that first question, how is it going? And don't fear speaking the word of God into that person. God will give you His words. And at the same time, I want to encourage you this, is that you've got to have the Word of God on the inside of you, so that when that Word is needed in that ministry situation, His Word stored up on the inside of you will come forth. So one final word of encouragement here tonight. It's not enough to read God's Word just at Easter and Christmas. We've got to be reading God's Word on a daily basis, right? You got to be getting into the Word of God 365 days a year. You may not have a whole lot of time to read God's Word, but read a few scriptures from Genesis, from the Gospel of John, and let the Word of God minister to you. Start that should be one of the goals that you've got for this year, is to start getting into the Word of God on a more consistent basis. Is that making sense here tonight? Not twice a year, consistently every day of the year. And just cry out to God and say, God, I kind of lack the desire, but God, I kind of feel somewhat indifferent, but I pray that you give me your desire. You give me desire to get into your word on a consistent basis. And if the word of God is stored up in you, it will come out at the time that you need it while you're ministering God's delivering power, his miracle working power in the life of somebody else. Did that make sense? God's got something more for you this year. He's got something new for you this year. God's got something greater for you in 2025. You were not created to just sit back and relax this year. You got to move forward. All right? In Jesus' name. And as you were listening tonight, maybe some of you out there, somebody out there has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, but tonight you're wanting to do that for the first time. If that's you, raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you've never accepted Christ, but you're wanting to do it for the first time, raise your hand. First time salvation, ma'am? First time prayer? Or recommitment? I'll get to that in just a moment. This is for a person out there, persons that want to accept Jesus for the very first time. If that's you, raise your hand. All right. Maybe there's some of you out there that accepted Jesus in the past, maybe a week ago or a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and maybe you got upset with God and you've slipped away from Jesus. But tonight you want to re-give, rededicate your life back to Him. If that's you, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. All right, see those hands. Stand up, those raising your hands. If God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit, don't reject His voice. Because remember, the next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to slip into eternity in the next hour, where would you spend it? Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you'd be in heaven with God and with Jesus? All right, awesome. Anybody else want to follow their lead? Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed, and it doesn't matter what the person next to you is thinking. It's only what God thinks about you that really matters. All right. Those standing up, come forward to the altar. Just come here. Just line up here at the altar in Jesus' name. All right. All right, those standing up here tonight, repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sins. I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. So tonight I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way again. Again, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. And I pray that you give me the strength to follow you all the days of my life that I have left on this earth. Jesus, I love you. I thank you that when I leave this earth, I see you face to face. I look forward to that day. In Jesus' name. Amen. And may God richly bless you. Welcome back to God's kingdom. And for those of you that recommitted your lives to Christ tonight, some of the ways to remain close to Christ is by getting into the Word of God, like I said a few moments ago, on a consistent basis. Praying to God, crying out to God, finding good Christian friends, reaching out beyond yourself into the lives of others. Going to church services, all right? And brother, would you come up? Close off the service. May God richly bless you guys.
Thank you very much, Brother Tony.
God bless you.
Just a quick reminder for everybody, we do have a recovery center over at the Refuge. And I'm out of applications on the stage, but they have some down at the front office. So if it's time for you to step away from the use of drugs, alcohol, or just